to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Another shooting on the East Coast around Washington, D.C., and a great tragedy. Obviously, a terrorist of some sort, whether a homegrown murderer or a foreign-inspired or extremist Islam-inspired, we don't know yet. But what a terrible tragedy. Absolutely terrible. Another story out of the West Coast is also sad, but it has this strange twist to it. Have you heard about the young man who fell from a tree? He was a tree sitter with Earth First. He was trying to save a tree from being cut down. And he fell from about 50 feet up in the tree and, well, tragically died. So this tree sitter is dead. And that's not the first time a tree sitter has been killed. So I'd like to chat about this for a little bit and think about trees and saving trees. And what in the world does that mean, saving a tree? You would think liberals who advocate renewable resources, right? Liberals are against fossil fuels. Now, why is that? Like petroleum or coal. By the way, where did oil and coal come from in the first place? Well, they came from the flood. You see, coal is not being formed today, and neither is oil. Oil and coal. Coal came from the plant matter that was covered up after the flood when the earth was covered with water for about a year. And as the water subsided, of course, the moon caused these tsunami-like tides, and the floating tree mats, the trees, branches, bark, the trunks of the trees, floating billions of trees in huge floating tree mats of some of them 100 or even hundreds of miles in diameter, would, as the water subsided, the wood and the bark and the leaves would touch ground, but then a tide would come back and they'd be lifted and then they'd be stranded. And then another tide would bring in, well, the kind of minerals that form, well, limestone, for example. And you'd get sedimentary rock on top of deposits of wood and plant matter. And with all the pressure and that peculiar circumstance, you'd get a coal seam develop. In a short period of time, you'd have a coal seam. But the interesting thing is where you find coal mines, like, say, in West Virginia, you don't find just one large coal seam. Oftentimes, you might find 10 or 20 all on top of one another, some a few inches thick, others many feet thick. And they're all on top of each other, all in the same area. Now, how'd that happen? Well, it happened because of the tides and the earth covered by water and billions of trees floating, and they were gradually deposited as the waters receded, and they were covered up. And that's how we got the coal seams. And we got our oil, our petroleum products, from the animals that were killed in the flood, and the animals that were floating, and the animals that were covered up, the billions of animals. If you'd like to touch an animal from before the flood, go get some Vaseline, petroleum jelly, and rub it on you, and you'll have some pre-flood animal giving nutrients to your skin. Pretty peculiar, isn't it? Well, anyway, trees are a renewable resource. Fossil fuels are not. Fossil fuels, you eventually run out of them. And so why would liberals be against that? So what if we run out of them? So they're in the earth, and if we run out of them, we run out of them. So they advocate renewable resources like wind or solar or using the waves and the tides for energy. Okay, well, trees, they're a renewable resource. And now we have yet another member of Earth First to fall to his death from sitting to protect the tree. Now let's go to Las Vegas. Hey, we had a call from Las Vegas last night. And now another one. This is Bob Benyart live out of Denver, KLT Radio in Las Vegas. Doug, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doug McBurney.
Yeah.
It's not even Friday night. What are you doing on the show?
Well, I got to tell you, Bob, I got to give kudos to your mighty affiliate there in Denver, KLT AM 670.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was driving out of Barstow, California last night, and I managed to pick up your show for several entertaining minutes.
Isn't that neat? What, you know, KLT is the most powerful Christian radio station in the country.
It was great. It was just nightfall, and the station was coming in, and I got you loud and clear for just a little while. I was very entertained and educated.
All right. That sounds fun. Barstow, California.
Yeah, Barstow, if you can believe it or not.
That's great.
But, I mean, you've already hit on a couple of great... By the way, tonight I'm listening via the internet on your mighty affiliate out of Indianapolis, WHME.
Oh, and out by of the way, South Bend, Indiana, WHME.
Yeah, they come in loud and clear on the internet.
Sounds great.
It's great. But, well, first of all, the tree sitter, that really is a tragedy.
Well, hey, Doug, this guy was an activist with Earth First.
Yeah.
And he died after he fell more than 50 feet. Now, he was a brand-new tree sitter. This was his first night in a tree.
His first night?
This was his first night, and his name is Naya.
Naya?
At least that's the only name that anyone knows for him, Naya. I don't know where that comes from.
Well, you gotta feel sorry. This is a kid obviously raised by hippies.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, so misled and confused and doesn't know what to devote his life to. He ends up sitting in a tree.
Right. And maybe he named himself after Gaia, the earth goddess.
Well, yeah, or maybe that bottled water.
Oh, yeah. Right. Could be. But, if you're going to worship trees, you might as well worship water.
Yeah, but, you know, Bob, I have to fight off the urge to, you know, kind of laugh at the guy and really try to step back and think about the tragedy of this kid's life.
Right.
You know, there's so many wonderful causes that he could have devoted his life to, and he ends up being deceived by the liberals and the hippies to sitting in a tree.
Mm. Well, hey, Doug, Dennis Davey of the Santa Cruz chapter of Earth First, they said that they're deeply saddened by this tragic event. We never like to lose an activist.
Oh, man. Well, at least they can, you know, at least they can feel some comfort in the fact that he's sort of become a renewable resource.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what's the loss? Because he's just going to be recycled.
Exactly. He's the result of millions of years of evolution and random processes, and he's just going back to Mother Earth.
Right. I mean, there are bacteria. He's made their day. We'll be right back after this. NYART, that's our call-in line, but this is listener-supported radio, and I'd like to give you the number to call in to find out about some of our materials, if you're interested. For example, we've got environmentalists lose a 10-year bet. Did you know that? An environmentalist bet a conservative economist that... that over a period of 10 years, five natural resources, with the environmentalists said that they would become more scarce. And the conservative economist said, no, resources become more plentiful over time, not more scarce. So he said, you pick to the liberal. He said, you pick. In fact, it was Paul Ehrlich, the guy who wrote the population bomb. The conservative said, you pick the five natural resources, whatever you want, and I'll bet you that in 10 years, they're more plentiful, not more scarce. So Paul Ehrlich jumped on the opportunity, made the public bet, and 10 years later would not write the check to pay off the bet. He had his wife sign the check. That's pretty funny. So how could that be? Hey, conservatives understand the environment and the ecosystem, much better than do liberals. Why is that? Because we put it in the right perspective. It was created by God for our benefit, and we should be good stewards of it. Liberals worship rocks and trees, and therefore they're blinded and confused. Hey, for those tuning in via the internet, let me give you that number that if you're interested in that video. That video, Environmentalists Lose a 10-Year Bet. It's fun. It's 1995. You can call us at 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-836-9278. And, of course, that's one of about, what, 20 videos we've got? And really enjoyable ones. Some of them are really fun. Like our smash hit, Get Out of the Matrix, where I had the opportunity to debate a philosophy class. And then we've got Bob Debates Predestination. That's fun. Which side did I take? Well, whichever side I took, I either freely chose it or I was predestined to. We'll have to figure that out. We're back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, Doug, have you ever heard me ask on the air, ask a liberal, if they only had time to save one, either a tree or a baby, which would they save?
I have heard you ask that question.
Yeah, and every time I've asked that question, usually to a high school or a college student, public school, government schooled, they say the tree. They'd say the tree.
They would. Right. They hesitate for a second, usually.
Yeah.
But then they answer the tree.
They answer the tree. My own niece said the tree in front of my uncle. I told my uncle this question, and he said, no way. So anyway, the kids are taught to worship trees and that trees are more valuable than people. So I wonder if Earth First, I wonder how they evaluate this. What do they think of the merits of this? Do you think Naya's sacrifice, if it improves the chances of saving the tree, maybe they think it was worth it?
Right, if it costs only one life of a human.
Right, if it saves one tree, it's worth it. If it saves one tree, it's... I have a personal life goal of cutting down 1,000 trees.
Oh, yeah?
That's my... And so far, I've cut down 37.
Really?
In my life, so I have a long way to go.
And that's not easy work, cutting down trees, either.
That's right.
Yeah. I got to tell you about another topic that you brought up about the environment.
Hmm.
I had an opportunity earlier this week to drive through the Redwood Forest up in California.
Oh, isn't it gorgeous?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past few weeks to drive through down through the Four Corners area and the Grand Canyon, And to see some of these awesome vistas out here in the western United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I hang out with you and talk with you a lot, I'm able to take this as an opportunity with my sister-in-law who's visiting from Japan.
Right.
Not only just to tell her how awesome it looks and just to see her reaction to it, but also to take it as a witnessing opportunity to explain about the flood and the fact that the Bible is really true.
Right. And that we conservative Christians, when we look at the surface of the earth, we understand it.
Yeah.
It makes sense to us. Get in a plane and fly from Denver to Los Angeles, and you'll see a massive floodplain that, in one sense, culminated in gouging out the Grand Canyon. Not over millions of years, but over hours.
Exactly. It's a tremendous witnessing tool, and I appreciate the insight you gave me. I never was so much into geology and rocks and things like that, but my sister-in-law actually has some interest in that area, so it's been very beneficial.
Well, that sounds great, Doug.
Oh, and by the way, Bob, I'm house-sitting right now, and I'm not trying to save the house, and hopefully it won't cost me my life or anything.
Right.
But that's not why I called.
Yeah.
There's a whole different reason why I called.
You're house-sitting. Okay.
See, that's the thing about your show. I listened to the first 5 minutes, and there's like five other topics I want to talk about.
Right.
But I got something serious.
Yeah.
I got an email I'm dealing with one of the companies that I do a little bit of consulting work for. That one of their salespeople, he stole some money from the company.
Oh.
He stole approximately $20,000 in cash.
Oh, no. Felony.
And then he also booked in about $60,000 in bogus orders in order to win a sales contest.
Wow. Now, he's not on the board of the Securities Exchange Commission, is he?
No, and he's not an Enron guy or anything like that.
All right.
But it's a similar situation.
Yeah, right, on a smaller scale.
Yeah, now I got an email from the guy. It's fallen to me to deal with the guy and fire him and clean up this whole situation.
All right.
And I got an email from him, and I wanted to touch base with you before I respond, because this is a guy who claims to be a Christian.
Oh, great.
And he ended his email, a long email, trying to explain himself and trying to acquit himself.
Right.
He ended, now he knows I'm a Christian.
Right.
I usually tell people, or they figure it out one way or another.
Yeah.
Well, he knows I'm a Christian. He ends his email with the phrase, "Doug, I'm not sure why all this happened or how all this happened, but I know one thing. Everything is in God's hands."
Oh, no.
"God bless you, my brother. Sincerely, yada, yada, yada."
Oh, no. It sounds like Tom Tancredo. Go ahead. Tell me, so have you responded at all yet to him?
I haven't responded, and I wanted to touch base with you because, I have an instinct as to, you know, what I should say. One of the things I want to say is, all that money you stole isn't in God's hands.
Yeah, right.
In your bank account.
Right, right. God didn't steal it.
Right.
That's like Tom Tancredo. The, I guess, conservative pro-life congressman from, the Denver area in Washington, and he made this pledge he'd only run for two terms, and now he's just broken his pledge, and he said, I guess being a Christian and all, he said his career is in God's hands. So isn't it amazing when people dishonor God, when they sin, they blame God?
Yeah.
That's just too much.
I want to tell you that I have a feeling that this guy may be a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but, all indications are is that he is a Christian. And
yeah, well, look at Peter. Look what Peter did. Look at David. You know, they believed in God, loved God, worshiped God, and then pretty bad.
Well, I mean, in formulating my response to this gentleman, I'm not sure. Should I try to be gentle? Should I just drop the hammer on the guy? And I feel like yelling at him for insulting God.
That's where I think I would start.
Yeah,
and that sounds real good.
And I got to tell you, Bob, this kind of leaves me a bit jaded in my professional life. In that, from here on out, it just seems like anybody who brings up the fact that they're a Christian overtly, maybe a red flag is going to go up in my mind, and that I may think twice about establishing a professional relationship with someone who has a tendency to wear their Christianity on their sleeve.
Well, it is a bit of a problem. Christian businesses, Christians as customers, Christian customers, they don't want to pay for things. So it's really a problem. It's embarrassing, the state of the church. Hey, Doug, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll commiserate.
Be listening.
Okay. Look forward to seeing you in studio. Now we're going to go to Maybank, Texas. Maybank, Texas. Tom, speak your mind.
Bob.
Hi, Tom.
You better give a warning because I'm going to quote a Bible verse.
Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, there are Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Go ahead, Tom.
Anyway, last couple nights I enjoyed your talk with the Mennonites.
Yeah.
And
the Mennonites are the liberal pacifist Christians.
And I'm just wondering how they'd handle this verse, because I'm retired to law enforcement.
Oh, cool.
And I always wondered why our system never worked. And then I got into your tapes and books on God's criminal justice system, and it'll work perfect if we use the God's criminal justice system.
Yeah, if we honor God by following his system of retribution against criminals, then God promises that we would not have a crime epidemic.
But anyway, this is the verse that I love. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, guilt is established. This is a capital crime. And then, anyway, it's Deuteronomy 17, 6 and 7. And the hands of the witnesses shall be first put upon him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. And I got a question, Bob. Does this include the victims?
Oh. Well, the hands of the witnesses, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, if the witness is alive, yeah. The victims. If the victims are alive, yeah.
Well, for example, if a man rapes a man's daughter.
Then the father and the daughter could help to put him to death.
Wow, I love that.
Wouldn't that be just great? And you know what? I could hear the Mennonites now. Tom, I could hear him saying, that's the Old Testament, and we know that the Old Testament is evil, and in the Old Testament, God was evil, but then he went to counseling in the intertestament period, and you should only quote from the New Testament.
But I tell you, I think if we had that today, you know, victims would feel a whole lot better.
Well, I agree, Tom. Amen to that. But come on, we can't quote the Old Testament.
I know.
It's just not right. I mean, Jesus, did he quote the Old Testament ever? Of course not. He only quoted the New Testament.
I think he quoted it quite a bit.
Wait, Tom, I want to stick on that for a minute. You mean Jesus quoted the Old Testament?
Oh, yes.
I wonder if...
He rested his whole case on the Old Testament.
I guess that the New Testament wasn't even written until after he ascended into heaven.
That's true.
So all the many quotes that Jesus had of Scripture, he quoted the Old Testament.
But he also said, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe one who rises from the dead.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Hey, but you know what? Maybe we could go to the New Testament and find the same thing, Tom. For example, in Hebrews chapter 10.
Okay.
Hebrews 10, verse 28. And this is in the present tense. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law, in other words, Moses said, do not murder, do not commit adultery. So anyone who murders commits adultery. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And that's present tense.
I love it.
So just like 1 Timothy, you know. And how about Herod? Doesn't the book of Acts say Herod was evil, so God killed him?
Yes.
Yeah, that's God's style.
Yep.
And anyway, this Hebrews chapter 10, anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot?
That gives me shivers thinking about it.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And, you know, a couple verses later, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So what this is teaching us is that the death penalty teaches men of the second death. The death penalty teaches men that there will be a second death because they believe in a God of justice when they see justice on earth. And when they see no justice, they question God.
Exactly.
Hey, Bob Enyard here. I want to tell you about more of our videos. We've got God and the Death Penalty. Oh, I should mention that on the show, actually. God and the Death Penalty. That's a really neat video. And how about this one? The Bible Tour of Israel. The Bible Tour of Israel. You could join Denver Bible Church and those who came along with us to our trip to Israel. We went there during the current intifada. And it was, we heard a couple of explosions, and there was a bombing in a Jerusalem shopping mall while we were there. And my two teenage boys and I, we went to another mall, and there was a bombing at some other mall 5 miles away. That was a bit, you know, disconcerting, of course. But we made a video out of that trip, and we call it a Bible tour of Israel. And as we tour, it's not just a tour of Israel, it's a Bible tour of Israel. And all the evidence that remains thousands of years later to help corroborate the story of the Bible. And if the story of the Bible is true, then perhaps its message is true also. You think about that? If the story is false, like say the Book of Mormon, the story is totally false. It's a make-believe story where the American Indians are really Jews who came over thousands of years ago to the Americas and they forgot how to make a wheel. And it's just a silly, absurd story. It's just flat out not true. So since the story of the Book of Mormon is a lie, then we have no compelling reason to take its message seriously. But if the Bible story is true, like, for example, the flood and all the earth being covered with water and all the evidence that it was, if the Bible story is true, then perhaps its message is true. Well, that's what you get when you you get the video, A Bible Tour of Israel. It's $24.95, plus shipping and handling. Everything we have is plus shipping and handling, except for the monthlies, the monthly Bible study tapes, the monthly albums, the monthly sermons, the monthly Best of Bob shipments. All that is not, no shipping and handling added. But everything else there is, like the plot manuscript, for example, overview of the whole Bible. And, you know, I think that's the main reason that Bob and Yurt Live, that we attract so many serious Bible students, because we expect that the whole Bible will make sense. And the reason we expect that is because we start with an overview. And once you start with an overview, thousands of details fall into place. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So in Maybank, Texas, hey, Tom, if people don't see the death penalty on earth, they will deny the existence of a God of justice.
Amen.
That's just true. I remember, where was it, down in Argentina, they had a murderous tyrant who had gotten away with all his crimes. And
yeah, a dictator down there.
Yeah, this is back, over a decade ago. And I forget a lot of the particulars, but I remember one of the headlines of the main newspaper in Argentina. In fact, major English language newspapers in America reprinted the headline. And this dictator, he had murdered so many people, and he got away with it because of an amnesty. And amnesties are bad. So he got away with it. Well, a few years later, they went after him, the courts, and he used to kidnap babies from his enemies and then kill his enemies and give the babies to his allies, to say the generals.
His military officers.
Yeah. And then the babies grew up not knowing that they had been stolen from their parents and their parents murdered. Well, the kidnapping, nobody thought to include the kidnappings in the umbrella of the amnesty. And so they arrested and prosecuted this guy and put him in prison for kidnapping. And the headlines in the paper in Argentina, Buenos Aires, was God exists. That was the headline. Two words, banner headline.
Because they waited so long for justice.
Right. When there is no justice on earth, the masses, you know, the unwashed masses, the unbelievers, they doubt that there's a God of justice. They see injustice in the world, and they think, there's no God. There's no God of justice. There's no justice in this world. That's what they see. And so And so the lack of a death penalty, the swift death penalty, helps to lead millions of people to hell. And God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible is a criminal justice textbook. From beginning to end, it advocates the death penalty. And those men in tights, those Mennonites, the girly men who don't have the masculinity that God gave them to stand up for the truth, that the wicked need to be punished so that people will believe there's a God of justice.
Well, Paul said the purpose of the law is to bring us to repentance. And
right.
You know, something even worse, Bob, is when you legalize a crime like homosexuality, then homosexuals, if you convince them, you know, through the Hollywood and news media and everything that they're most wonderful, why should they repent? Because you're convincing them that they're doing nothing wrong.
Right. When you legitimize adultery by legalizing it, if you legalize adultery, you've legitimized it.
Yes.
And if you legitimize pornography by legalizing it and homosexuality by legalizing it, then the net effect is you will be encouraging millions of people to participate in those destructive behaviors, and they will be proud of their sexual immorality.
Yeah, instead of repenting, they brag about it.
Right. Instead of shame, the natural shame that God put in us when we do wrong, when the law is the great teacher. The law is the great teacher, and the law should help us proclaim the gospel, and that sin leads to death. But repentance and faith in Christ leads to life. But when you take the law and you destroy the law, so now the law is dishonorable because you've legitimized killing unborn children. You've legitimized adultery. It's now legal instead of a crime.
And the government will protect your right to do it.
Right. The government. Yeah. I know a case. In fact, it's somebody I'm actually close to. And his marriage, this is going back maybe 15 years. His marriage was bad. And his neighbor was trying to seduce his wife. And so the fact that his marriage was bad was 100% his fault. And the fact that the neighbor was trying to seduce his wife was 100% the neighbor's fault. So he went to the neighbor's house. He knocked on the door. And the neighbor came to the door, and he said, "Don't you come near my wife again. If you do, I will beat you up." And he left.
They probably put him in jail.
Tom, you're right. The police put him in jail. If it was 50 years earlier, the police would have put the neighbor in jail.
And I guess he doesn't have to worry about the husband coming home and catching him because he's in jail.
Chances are the wife entered into the affair that night. Chances are. What a shame, huh?
You know, Bob, I have a clever slogan that I'll give to you, and I won't even charge, and I give you permission to use it.
All right.
Most people who think we should be Christ-like have no idea what Christ is like.
Well, that's good, Tom. People who think we should be Christ-like don't know what Christ is like.
Isn't that good?
That's a fabulous soundbite. How about that's like instead of what would Jesus do, what did Jesus do? Because they don't know what Jesus did. How can they figure out what he would do since they don't know what he did?
Exactly.
And how about this for a soundbite? It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Yeah, I love that. That's good.
That's a winner, too. Hey, Tom, thank you.
Okay. God bless, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate the call. You know, some people tune into Bob and Yurt Live and they think, well, this show is just a bit too harsh. Well, have you read the Bible? Like we're talking about trees and the tree worshiper who fell out of a tree, I guess the tree killed him yesterday. What a tragedy. Young guy, he's dead, fell 50 feet to his death. Well, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, God talks about tree worshipers. And this is what God says. I don't have it right in front of me. I'm paraphrasing. You could read the chapter, see if I'm right. It'll do you good. Just read Isaiah 44. Anyway, God says this. He says, with one branch, they build a fire and they cook their lunch. And with another, they carve an idol and they say to it, "You are my God." So they cut down a tree, and out of one branch, they cook their lunch, and out of another branch, they make their God. And God points this out occasionally in the Bible. He says, "Don't you know how stupid this is? They carve a God out of a block of wood, and they say, 'Wake up.'" God says that. You could read that verse too. Wake up. God doesn't wake up. They speak to it. It doesn't speak back. It can't do anything. If it fell over, if you toppled it, it couldn't even keep itself upright. It'd fall over. If you carved a head on it, it might lose its head. It's better to have a God that doesn't topple over when he gets pushed. It's better to have a God that does not topple over. You know, trees, they want to save the trees. Well, there are more trees today in America than 200 years ago. Just go back 100 years ago in Colorado, the Front Range. Go on top of the Denver Post building and look to the west, from the Front Range to the foothills into the Rocky Mountains. And there's a photo in the top floor of the Denver Post building from about 100 years ago, and it's the same basic perspective, and it's all desert. And you look out the window today, and it's all green. It's all green. We Christian Americans, we plant trees by the millions. We've planted billions of trees. You know, the pagan Indians, did they plant trees? We can put out forest fires. Not every forest fire, but we've put out many forest fires. Right? Now, not to besmirch the American Indians, but they ran from forest fires. We Christians, we can put them out. Well, they never invented the wheel, so they couldn't get the water to the trees, to the fire. So I've got a goal of cutting down 1,000 trees in my life. Because, you know, old trees, they don't process carbon dioxide all that well. Young trees, they do. So isn't it better to cut down old trees and plant young trees? Let's go to Indianapolis. Rich, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing? It's Rich Holst in Indianapolis.
Rich Holst, one of the more famous people in the Bob and Your Live audience. Welcome to the show.
Famous?
Well, sure famous. We've told your story about you and your wife on the show a number of times.
Great, great.
You married a Chinese refugee. Maybe before you hang up, we'll get you to tell that story to those who are new in the audience.
Well, sure.
All right, so what did you call about?
Hey, I just called because I occasionally like to put on some of your old videos and stuff and watch them. And a while back, you know, I bought the predestination free will debate.
All right, I'm going to ask you about that during the break. Hey, Bob Enyard here. Our phone number, 1-888-836-9278. That's the call-in line. And we were talking about the videos. Now, this caller from Indianapolis, he's brought up a video titled, what is it titled? Bob Debates Predestination. So we'll find out. We'll get back to the show and hear what Rich's comment or question is. But before that, I want to tell you, we not only have Bob Debates Predestination, but we have an audio album, six-tape audio album called Predestination and Free Will. And boy, is it fun. It's fun. 6 hours. And either you can decide to buy it of your own free will, or you may be predestined to buy it. One or the other. I don't know which. Of course, you might be predestined not to buy it also. Or it might be your free choice not to buy it. Which is it? Do you know which it is? If you don't know, if you're a little unsure, then go ahead and call 1-888-ANYART and either freely choose or, having been predestined, be compelled to order the Predestination and Free Will album. It's $29.95 plus $5.50 shipping and handling. And then, after you listen to it, you may know exactly whether you freely called or you were predestined. If you're not sure, if you're a little uncertain on that issue, boy, isn't that a foundational issue? Isn't that fundamental to how God works and how life works? You should definitely be strong on that issue. So I want to encourage you to give us a call and get that. Remember, there's a money-back guarantee. So either we have freely chosen to give people their money back, or we've been predestined to. I wonder which it is. But at either rate, people generally either freely choose never to ask for their money back, or they've been predestined never to ask for their money back because they never do. So you can call us at 1-888-8-NYART, get the Predestination Free Will album, and then the video. All right, we're back. We're back on the air, 1-800-836-9278. And we have Rich from Indianapolis. So, Rich, you wanted to ask a question about the video we have where it's titled Bob Debates Predestination.
Yes, yes.
All right, what's your question?
I just wanted to know if you had any more contact since the debate with Mr. Schwartley.
Oh, yeah, Brian Schwartley. Yeah, that was a fun two-hour debate moderated by John Mangopoulos, Lansing, Michigan TV talk show host. Rich, we went into the debate saying the answer is no. I think John has offered Brian Schwartley a follow-up debate, but best I know, he didn't accept. But we went into the debate with our standard debate formula for determining who wins. And the winner of a debate is the person who sells the video or sells the audio tape. That's who wins. It, you know, typically you have a debate and both sides claim they won. But whoever sells the record and publishes the record of the debate, that's the real winner. And the one who doesn't is making a self-determination that he lost.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, so we've been selling this this videotape for a couple of years, and it's a lot of fun, too. But
well,
I
would encourage people, anyone who doesn't have it, definitely to get it. If not for the theological points, you know, he was rather harsh with you.
Well, he either did that freely or was predestined.
That's right.
So and
get the video and find out.
You know what, Rich? I'd rather people, before they get the video debate, which is 2 hours, get the audio album, which is 6 hours, Predestination and Free Will.
Well, I would encourage that also.
Because that's much more foundational. And after you get that, then you could watch the debate and enjoy it more. So anyway, hey, Rich, we need to tell the newcomers in the audience quickly about you and your wife. You married a Chinese refugee. But I'm wondering if you could hold on a moment, because we got an Oklahoma caller who I think is an atheist.
Sure.
No? Oh, a coworker's an atheist. All right. Well, hey, Rich, I'm wondering if you could hold on, because if we don't get to you, we're almost, you know, we only have 10 more minutes. We could have you back on maybe tomorrow night or Monday night.
Sure.
All right, so I'm going to put you on hold and go to Ada, Oklahoma. In Ada, Oklahoma, is this Guard?
Gary.
Gary.
That's right.
Hi, Gary. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Co-worker, I get a chance to spend a day with him tomorrow. All day, just me and him.
Right.
And I want to get some jabs in, but
all right.
I wanted to know from you, since you talked to and debated with atheists.
Oh yeah,
more than I have.
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
I would start with creation. That's how I normally start. It changes with different people. It depends on what they're interested in.
Yeah, and I don't want to be too harsh with him,
because
he doesn't seem to me like the kind of person that, you know,
that can take it.
Yeah, that can take it.
Well, do you think he's an honest atheist or a dishonest atheist?
I think he's an honest atheist. He's told me before that if I presented evidence to him, then he would consider, you know.
Yeah, that would be an honest atheist, as honest as an atheist can get, whereas a dishonest atheist says, I don't believe in God, and I don't want to see any evidence that supposedly might indicate that God exists.
Yeah, and I've already been criticized from my other coworkers that I'm too harsh with, you know.
Well, then you're probably just about right. If other Christians are judging you for being judgmental.
Yeah, they said I shouldn't criticize so much. I said, well, what, you know, you're criticizing me that I criticize.
Very good. Very good, Gary. And, you know, when you go through the Bible, you read the prophets and Jesus and the apostles. Did Jesus mostly agree with people?
No.
Or did he mostly criticize and disagree and confront? Of course, he mostly did all that.
Hey, but there's another guy I wanted to talk to you about. He's not an atheist. He told me he was at one time in his life that, you know, he gave his life to the Lord. And so he told me that he was a Christian. But the atheist, he knows more about the Bible than this Christian does. And so...
Yeah, that's real sad, right?
However... I got a chance to talk to this.
You know what? Hey, Gary, yeah. We should really stay on the atheist because we have very little time left.
Okay. Well, I just
and
wanted
so
to know.
I just want to give you an encouragement to consider trying creation, because you could ask him if he believes in the laws of science. And the first two laws of science is that you cannot create nor destroy matter nor energy. And the easy way of saying that is a rock cannot make itself out of nothing. So you could tell him, you know, the first law of science is that a rock cannot make itself out of nothing. And he'll probably say, oh, yeah, I believe that. And then the second law is that a fire cannot burn forever. So the question is, did the sun make itself out of nothing? Well, no, that can't be. Well, then has it been burning forever? Oh, no, I guess that can't be either. So with those two questions, can a rock make itself from nothing, and can a fire burn forever, you can prove the existence of God. Because the universe could not make itself out of nothing, and it could not have been functioning and burning forever. It would have burned out by now. So I would try those two.
Okay.
And let us know how it goes.
I will.
All right?
I hope it goes good. I get the chance to spend all day with him, so I'm going to do my best.
We really want to hear.
Okay.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye.
Now we're going to go back to Rich in Indianapolis. Hey, Rich, tell me if I remember this part of the story right, and then you pick it up from there.
Okay.
All right. There was a woman named Joe. We call her Joe to make it easy for us English-speaking people. And the Chinese government tried to perform a forced abortion on her, and with the help of her dad bribing a nurse, she escaped from the second floor of a hospital by jumping to the ground, was injured, got on a ship of Chinese refugees to come to North America, almost died going across the Pacific, ended up being taken by helicopter to a hospital in California, recovered, and was put in a jail by our government for how long?
5 years.
For 5 years. Xu Yan Zhou was in jail for 5 years. Rich, and what was her crime?
I don't know.
What in the world is the government of America doing to a pretty young Chinese woman, a Christian woman, taught herself how to speak English, to desperately try to flee from those who had taken her by force to kill her baby, the Chinese birth control program, which Planned Parenthood supports and gives millions of dollars to.
Yeah, where were all the pro-choice people when she needed them? That was her choice to keep the baby.
Right, and Planned Parenthood gave the money to force the abortion on her. Millions of dollars a year to China's forced abortion program. So when they say they're pro-choice, they're liars. And our government treated her, she's fleeing for her life. They treated her like a criminal, put her in jail for 5 years. We don't put murderers in jail that long, oftentimes. And so then she got out of jail with the help of some dear members of our audience who fought for her release. They won a temporary release, and she went right from jail to Congress and testified before Congress live on, if I recall, C-SPAN. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then she went from C-SPAN to Indianapolis, where you met her.
That's right.
Right?
At your seminar.
That's right. We were doing a seminar. I don't remember the topic.
Criminal justice.
God, isn't that something? God's criminal justice system. And we told Xu Yan Zhou's story. And, hey, Rich, is it all right to say what we did after the seminar?
Sure.
You sure?
Hey.
Why don't you say it?
Well, basically, we were, I think, we were just looking for a way to help her situation. And
to help her not get deported.
Help her not get deported.
Right.
Find a suitable husband.
Find a husband. So, I seem to recall saying at the seminar, if there are any single men out there, there was maybe 100 people or so at the seminar. If there are any single men out there, we're going out to dinner. Come on. And, Rich, you came to the dinner and you married Xu Yan Zhou.
That is correct.
I
actually walked in the seminar. I came late.
Oh.
And if you've ever met Xu Yan's adopted mom, who she was at the seminar with that day,
right?
She's always running late, too. So
right.
We have something in common. And
right.
So they were in front of me signing in when I walked in behind them.
All right.
And I was like, hey, who's this?
Who's this pretty young woman?
So before I even knew her story or anything, I've been looking for a wife for quite some time, but, all your seminars, all the women are all taken. Because we promote marriage so much.
Yeah, that's right. Good point. So here was a single woman and a pretty woman also. And so, we said if there are any men out there who are willing to step up to the plate and marry this pretty young woman, and there were quite a few men who would like to do that.
Well, hey, I made sure I got in the car of the lunch caravan that she was going in that day because somehow or another I wound up driving in the same car as her.
Well, praise the Lord. And so now you guys have a beautiful family.
Yes, we do.
Tell us.
We have
daughter.
A beautiful 13-month-old daughter named Mary Jo.
Mary Jo. What a pretty name. And, Rich, I've always admired you for just loving Joe and taking care of her. Thank you for doing that and for raising your baby together. And thanks for calling in and helping to promote that predestination video.
Well, thanks for everything you've done in our lives, especially for me, by being out there preaching and stuff. You've turned me away from my liberal lifestyle and But I'm not the perfect husband. I don't want everybody out there in radio land to think I'm perfect. We all struggle
we need to encourage one another.
Yes,
to,
we do.
To become more Christ-like.
That's what I was trying to do right now is encourage people not to waste so much of their young adult lives, believing liberal ideas like I did because I see now that even though I've been a Christian, it'll be 7 years this month.
The consequences. And, Rich, we're out of time, but thank you. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.